This is Open Talk Radio, The Flash.
Paula Sela is a real Geico customer, not an actor. So to help tell her story, we hired that announcer guy from the movies.
When the storm hit, both our cars were totally underwater.
In a world where both of our cars were totally underwater,
we thought it would take forever to get some help.
But a new wind was about to blow.
With Geico, we had our check in 2 days.
Payback. This time, it's for real.
Geico. Real service, real savings. Is a real Geico customer, not a paid celebrity. So to help tell her story, we hired Mr. Burt Bacharach.
Last year, I was rear-ended by a Geico customer.
I was hit in the rear.
First thought in my mind was about that funny lizard.
Lizard licks his eyeball.
I was so impressed with how they handled my claim, I switched.
I hope I'll never get hit in the rear again.
Geico. Real service, real savings.
This is GPW Tonight, coming at you weekly with special guests and matches. My first not-so-special guest, Chaz Moretti. We're going to watch some matches tonight, Chaz.
Great. Which Moretti Agency match are we spotlighting?
We're going to watch a match, Mark J. Rocket versus Jake Andrews from February 2000.
Oh yeah, it's about that time, everybody, for GPW Weekly, hosted by Steve Aaron, along with the Macho Ghost. So give it up.
Oh yeah, freak out, everybody. Here we are, GPW Weekly. At least I think that's what it's called right now. We'll get back to that in a minute. The Macho Ghost is right here, dead alive, on the interwebs, radio waves, Facebooks. Maybe you're listening to us on a ham radio, and if you are, tell me how you made a radio out of a ham. Here I am with the extraordinarily knowledgeable, the eloquent button pusher, the controller of all controls, Martez L. is in the booth. Martez, please say hello to the people if you can. Maybe he can't, but I assure you he's there. Obviously, last week on the show, we were corrupted
by
Oh, there's Martez. Martez is here.
Hey,
he's getting his microphone all plugged in.
You're right. Hello, hello, hello. What's up, everybody? What's up, Mr. Macho Ghost, the Macho Ghost?
That's right. I'm glad you're here. I was just telling everybody we had a myriad of technical difficulties last week, so hopefully we'll make it through smooth, like a sail
sailing ship along a tranquil sea. I'm so excited and nervous at the same time. I don't know if I can pronounce my words right, Martez, but Martez is here, and so far so good. Well, I think we're still on the air.
Yeah, we still here. We're still live, and we're also being streamed on Instagram, so we have people listening that way too.
Oh, man, Instagram. I don't even have an Instagram account, so this is pretty good. I'm on the Instagram for the first time. Hello, everybody from Instagram. Yeah. When I was little, Instagram used to mean my grandma would get me something to drink whenever I asked her.
You know what's funny about Instagram? Instagram is so different compared to Facebook. You know, I don't know if you tried to reach out to me earlier, but Facebook, they suspended my account again because I was trying to reach out to you about tonight's show. And Facebook, no matter what you do, if they don't like something that you're doing, they will shut you down. So I'm kind of moving over to Instagram.
Oh, man, I might have to do that too. Yeah, I did just a little while ago because I was getting myself all prepared the last hour and a half or so. And I sent you a quick message to let you know something, which I'll tell you about in a minute. So Instagram, yeah, Facebook, if you post something they don't like, they'll block you out. Martez has been having problems with that. Although if you want to run a Russian bot to promote a corrupt political candidate, no problem. If you want to put fake information out there about the state of the world and lie to all the public, they're okay with that.
It's a weird what people are okay with and what they're not okay with. You know,
It's weird. Speaking of okay with and not okay with, obviously someone is conspicuous by their absence. I'm here, you're here, but Steve Aaron's not here. He dropped a bombshell a couple days ago that he wasn't going to be on the show. In fact, Martez, he might not be back for the rest of the year. What do you think about that?
Oh, my God. First of all, I'll be pretty sad if he doesn't return for the rest of the year. But, you know, from watching this guy, from knowing him from the last 7 months, this guy, he works really hard. So hopefully he takes all the time he needs to recover or get recharged. And I'm pretty sure Macho, you're going to take the show to another level.
Oh, man, I hope so. We got 90. Well, we got 80 minutes about left to fill or so. So hopefully we can do it. And without Steve Aaron, I think the show will be a lot better because we're not going to be weighed down by all of his bitterness and narcissistic tendencies. And also, Martez, now this is going to throw you through for a loop because obviously I did not get a chance to send you the message. You did not receive it via Facebook. I got to calm down, Martez. I can't even talk straight.
It's okay. I'm sitting over here. Like I always tell people, like I have undiagnosed ADD, so I'm so hyper and excited. You're going to hear a lot of stuttering. You're going to hear a lot of not good usage of words on my end.
Good. I like that. That we'll just blame it on those technical difficulties from last week if people say we don't know what your guys were talking about. But I already had my Dr. Pepper 10. I'm on my cherry Dr. Pepper already, and I got my regular Dr. Pepper standing by.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Now, later tonight, I was informed through the grapevine that we will have a guest on, namely the amazing Turtle from GPW, and we're going to be talking all about tonight, the past event from this last Saturday, October 5th, GPW Hell's Bells. We're going to go through all the fallout from that, all the results from all those matches, and all the diabolical villainy of our former co-host, Mr. Steve Arendt. And also, this is the part that's going to throw you for a loop, Martez. I wasn't sure if you and I by ourselves, I wasn't sure if you'd be in the mood to talk. I know sometimes you like to be quiet and hide in the shadows, so I invited a special guest on here. He's already on the line, my good, close, personal friend and a wrestling aficionado in his own right, our good friend Charlie Erickson, who you may know from the Facebook. Say hello, Charlie Erickson. Hi, everybody. I'm Charlie. I've never been on a podcast before. Hi, Martez. Nice to meet you.
Oh, wow. Nice to meet you, too, Charlie. It's a pleasure to finally hear your voice, man.
I thought we needed to change things up, Martez, that we could have another person in the booth, or I'm schizophrenic.
Hey, either way it goes, I'm happy with it. Can I ask Charlie a question, Macho? Is it okay if I ask
Charlie.
Yeah, I may interrupt at any time. I may interrupt you at any time because that's what I do. I may interrupt Charlie too. That might be impossible, but it could happen. So go right ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Martez. I'm ready. And by, incidentally, Martez, I had no idea that there were this many buttons and levers and pulleys on your control board. This is pretty complicated. Don't touch anything.
Oh, this is some scary stuff going on right now.
I know, isn't it? Anyway, Martez, you got a question for me. My first, I think I might have been on a podcast once before a long time ago, but this is a new experience for me, obviously. So what's your question, Martez?
It's a very simple question. How long have you known this macho ghost that we've come to love?
Well, that's an interesting story. Interesting indeed. Macho Ghost and I go way back, almost as far as Steve and I go way back. Obviously, people know or may not know that Steve and I went to high school together back in the 80s. We were both wrestling fans, and that's when, you know, somewhere along the line in our travels, we got to know the Macho Man, and we got to know Hulk Hogan. Don't tell Macho I said that. I don't know why those words on the show. And then I got Macho Ghost and I got to be friends. And then after he died, he was looking for a place to hang out on Earth. He started haunting my house. Next thing I know, he's on Steve's podcast, and I'm listening to the two of them every week. And I thought, man, I want to get in on this. But, you know, Martez, I'm kind of shy.
Oh, you're like me.
Exactly. So it's been about, I think that's part of the reason I'm on here, because the Macho Ghost and I have been warning people about how fiendish and greedy and narcissistic and bitter and evil Steve is for going on 31 years.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Martez, that's last century. That's right, because this past event, it was all about Steve being evil and stabbing everybody in the back. Martez, do you have any idea what happened in the events this past Saturday, or is this all going to be news to you?
This is all sort of going to be news to me, but the last time I was on Facebook, I had a chance to see Steve in a picture with a whole bunch of wrestlers, and Steve had a belt on his shoulder. But Macho, we have a caller from Detroit calling in.
Oh, man, from Detroit. All right, let him through. Hello, caller. Can you hear us? Are you on the air yet? You're calling from Detroit. That's pretty cool.
What's up, Daddy? This is the black man, Coco T. Ware, leader of Kayfabe, the People's Band. How you doing, Daddy?
Oh, man, Coco, it's good to hear your voice. It's nice to meet you, I think. We're sort of meeting in a way, if you want to put it that way. What's going on, Coco? Welcome to the GPW Weekly. What do you have on your mind? Your call. We don't get a lot of calls, so this is exciting. What do you have to say?
Well, see what I got on my mind right now. First of all, let me say hello to the main man, Brother Martez. Good friend of mine. He and I met through Facebook a while back. He's been big on the dream of seeing the Kayfabe Band Army come alive one day, and that's going to happen. I will be at the Survivor Series watch party. I cannot wait for that one, baby. But here's what's on my mind.
All right, go ahead.
I'm really digging this Inner Circle faction with Chris Jericho and this whole young squad. I like what I see right now. I'm enjoying it. It's a little early. I'm surprised they started up a faction so quick, but I figured with the E rolling the way it is, the WWE and all that, they got to get moving with some kind of traction, some kind of movement, and I like it because only Chris Jericho can pull this off, baby. Break out the bubbly real quick because it's going to be a party real soon.
Don't pour the champagne over your head just yet. But, yeah, I agree with you. And Coco was obviously talking about the brand-new AEW Dynamite on every Wednesday evening, TNA Network. Check your local listings. But, yeah, Chris Jericho, AEW champion, has formed already at the end of the first episode and introducing them formally at the beginning of the second episode. His inner circle of so to speak, Horseman NWO style group that looks like they're going to take over AEW. What do you think about that, Coco?
I'm digging it. I'm digging it real hard and heavy. See, you need to think about this. In all of Chris Jericho's years as a wrestler, at best he's been with a tag team or he's paired up with a buddy, but he ain't never led or even been a part of a faction to my memory. So I'm here to tell you now, here's once again, arguably the greatest of all time, or one of the greatest of all time. He has pushed his way in the upper echelon and formed his own faction. That is unheard of. You wouldn't think a Chris Jericho of any iteration, of any time, would do something like that. But he has once again set the bar. He keeps reinventing himself. And the man will be 80 years old, and he will still be relevant because he knows how to change with the times and still look like he's only 45.
I think you're right. He'll be 80 years old, and he'll still be wrestling Terry Funk.
Exactly. And Terry Funk will be 203. Going on 204 in 2 days.
Oh, man. Now, Chris Jericho's new faction is obviously some familiar faces to most if you're a fan of the former TNA or former current Impact Wrestling. We got the former LAX, now unnamed, in Ortiz. We got there, and oh, my gosh, I forgot his tag team partner's name. Coco, help me out. Santana.
Santana, that's right.
I got too many things rolling through my head. They're a tag team extraordinaire. If you want a tag team on your team, you really can't find a better one than Santana and Ortiz. And then we got this newcomer there, Sammy Guevara, who was in the opening match against Cody Rhodes' very first match on AEW Dynamite. Obviously, they're putting a lot of push behind this young man, thinking he's a part of the future, and now he's part of the now, as Jericho said, part of the inner circle. That's a pretty good thing. Like you said, Jericho, not used to teaming with people. He's usually a lone wolf, so to speak. But now he's got these guys and a familiar face from WWE days, former Jack Swagger, big man Jake Hager. He looks like he's 8 feet tall. I think he's been growing, eating some kind of corn in Oklahoma or something.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. He's been eating them WWE wrestling ice cream bars. That's what it is, Daddy. All that calcium just built up the bones and made it stronger. That's what it is.
Oh, man, that's pretty lucky. He's lucky. He went up. Usually when people like myself eat that many ice cream bars, we go sideways with our size. You know what I mean by that.
You ain't lying, Daddy, because I'm pretty wide myself. I'm just super heavyweight if you need me.
Oh, man. Coco, you remind me of a young Dusty Rhodes. I win your vernacular here in your lispicity, if you get my drift there.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. He's a big inspiration of mine. And few people can talk on that mic like a Dusty Rhodes. He's kind of like a black preacher from Georgia, but he was a son of a plumber from Texas. So how's about that for irony?
I know. What do you think? Martez, you're familiar with the ministry and the preaching. Dusty Rhodes, I think when young guys and young ladies come in, and I think they should have promo classes because not everybody's good at it, and there's all different kind of levels. But I think one of the people you should have to watch old videotape of is Dusty Rhodes, because no one could spin a story and tie it into his real life like Dusty Rhodes could. He could go from winning champions to talking about eating beans, and it made sense to everybody.
Hey, Macho,
I
got some Dusty Rhodes for us, about 20 seconds worth of them.
Oh, man, let's listen to some Dusty Rhodes here.
The man of the hour, the man with the power. I am the hit maker, the record breaker. I got smiling grace and a loveless face. I make your back crack, your liver quiver. If you don't dig this mess, you have the wrong address. And superstar, while all the rest are in the back, laughing and joking. The dream's out front. Woo!
Cooking
and smoking.
Shut up, Kanye. No one lifts it down like the dream.
That's him, baby. That's him all the way. Live and in Technicolor, Daddy, as he would always say.
Now, Coco, since we have you here, we got some opinions of you, but obviously you've got some promotion of your own here. I heard something about a kayfabe army. Since you're on the air, why not talk about that right now? Martez, it's our show. We can do whatever we want.
We sure can.
Well, yeah, baby. See, I started up, and my brother Martez knows about this all too well. I gave him the history since day one. I'm starting up a cover band. Well, not just any cover band, but we're going to cover all your favorite wrestling things, baby, from the golden age of the 80s all the way up to today, from the WWF, the NWA, WCW, and anything in between, AEW, baby, all the theme songs that you know and love, we will play them. And if we don't know them, we will learn them. And when it's all said and done, baby, we're going to
I don't think I've ever heard of a cover band playing wrestling theme songs before. This is, God, this is piquing my interest.
No, sir, baby. No, sir, daddy. See, I am the ace that plays the bass, by the way. And then I got a singer, my lovely wife, my brown sugar sweet, the sensational sweet Diddy. And then I got a drummer. He is the beat, correction, he's not the beat slayer. He is our knockout artist. His name is Timbo Slice. Now, I'm missing a couple pieces to my inner circle, if you will. I need my stable together, like the little champion Chris Jericho's got. I need me a keyboard player. I need me a guitarist who can strum. I need the king of strum style somewhere. I need the killer keys. I need me some K-Fed tag team champions on them keyboards, preferably two. If I got one, we'll make it happen. But I'm missing some elements to this K-Fed army, baby, because we're going to take this everywhere from the Baltimore Civic Center to the Staples Center, all the way to Timbuktu, daddy, and even down to the Fable Halls of Cobo Arena, baby, where all the magic began. That's
man,
what I'm
man, that's quite a plan. I like it. I like it. So, okay, we got here the beginnings of this faction. We got Coco, we got Mrs. Coco, and we got the, I believe you said Timbo Slice smashing the bongos there in the background. We're looking for someone to tinkle the ivories, possibly two people, possibly one person with four hands, and then we're looking for someone else to go crazy on some guitar. Is that what you're saying here, Coco?
Exactly, and Timbo Slice is on the drums, daddy. He on the drums, by the way. Oh, yeah, definitely. And if I can get a singer or two, that'd be fine just as well. But we're going to play it all, and we're going to play some non-wrestling-themed covers that wrestlers use as interest music, like Another One Bites the Dust from Queen. The Junkyard Dog used to come out of there, baby. Or maybe The Times doing the Bird. Like my kayfabe daddy, Coco Beware, used to come out to back in the day. That was extra on fire, baby. We got a couple more. Free Birds.
Man, I
Enough
like it. There's a lot
right
of bird
there.
Theme here, too.
Yes, sir.
So let's
I'm
see. Now, since we got
bird.
You
I'm
here.
Down with the wings.
Martez was saying that you're from the, are you from the Detroit area? Is that what we're with? Is that my GPS correct?
Yes, sir. From the
Detroit
area.
All right, I myself concurrently am in the Chicago suburban area, so that's kind of far for anybody around here to travel. So is there any kind of contact information you might want to give out now so the listeners in Detroit who are close to you and might want to come to audition at the Coco Palace, how can they reach you if they want to be part of this kayfabe army?
Well, plain and simple, baby, you can catch me on Facebook and on Instagram. Get on the gram, daddy. Kayfabe, the people's band. That's the name of the band. Kayfabe, the people's band. People spelled PPLS, daddy. We're going to have some style and some flair with it, baby. And I don't mean Rick. And also, I'm also on Twitter, Kayfabe, the people's band. Catch me there. Catch us there. Because that's how you'll contact me. Feel free to reach me on the inbox. Let me know what you can do. Let me know how interested you are so I can get some feelers out, so I can get some people, get some interested. Even if you can't do it on a full-time basis, but maybe you can be on call. Any and everything is possible. Nothing is off the table, baby. We can put it on and sign the dotted line and figure it out from there.
Ooh, I like it. Just like True Dusty Rhodes, anything is possible, from polka dots to plungers. Now, I want you to do, because it's confusing sometimes in the world of social media. Now, it's the Kayfabe People's Army. Why, could you spell it for me with every letter so people know? Because it's you said there's two P's in people, so spell it out so everybody makes sure they got it right when they're looking for you.
All right. I thought you'd never ask that, because I was a spelling bee champion in my young ditch-digging days.
I thought so.
K-A-Y-S-A-B-E. Put a colon next to it, daddy. And then the, T-H-E, people's, P-P-L-S. And then band, B-A-N-D, daddy. And we're going to be on and popping like fish in hot grease, baby.
Ooh, man, it's on like neck bone from my friend Booker T.
Yeah, got that right.
So, Martez, are you you're familiar with Coco here. You're all, that sounds like you're friends from way back.
Absolutely. We met on Facebook probably about a year ago.
We've been
tight ever since. You know, this is a good man. He has a good thing going. I support him on his endeavors. He's very talented from what you can hear. I'm just digging the guy. You know, and I consider him a good friend too, even though I'm pretty busy and I don't reach out to him as much as I want to. But I consider this
That's fine. I've been busy myself.
Yeah, but I got nothing but love for you, man.
Same here, Daddy. And yes, we are tight, man. We're tighter than spandex on a 400-pound fella wearing 200-pound pants in an airtight room, Daddy. We are extra tight. He is right, Macho.
Oh, man, that's tighter than tight.
Oh, you ain't lying, baby. That will cut off all your circulation.
Man, oh, man. So Kayfabe Army we got now. Is there any chance the Kayfabe Army might get in the ring and bust some heads? Or is this strictly a musical endeavor?
Oh, no, baby. No, baby. We know our zone. We know our place. We are all about the music, Daddy. We all about the experience for the fans, for the kids, for the mamas, the daddies, the granddaddies, the grandmamas, the pappies, the adopted ones, okay? The pet dog, if he like him, some Hacksaw Jim Duggan will play it. That's what we all about.
I like it. I like it. Now, hold on a second. Let me interrupt you for a second there, Coco, because I heard a knock on the door. And when there's a knock on the door, I think that means we have a phone call. Martez, do we have another phone call?
Yes, we do.
All right. Coco, I'm going to have to let you go now. I'm glad you called it. If you want to, we're on the air every Thursday night from 7 to 8:30. You call back in next week, if that's all right, if that's in your schedule.
Anytime, I'm going to do my best because I enjoyed myself tonight, Daddy. Y'all take care of yourself.
Thanks for calling. We enjoyed having you. We got new friends now, Coco and the Kayfabe Army. All right, take it easy, Coco. Man, Martez, this is a busy night. Charlie hasn't even said anything, I'm afraid. Who's on the phone now, Martez? Who we got?
I believe we got the turtle.
This is the amazing turtle on the line right now.
That's right, baby.
Oh, man, Turtle, now, by the time you called in, we just had a new friend on here, Coco. I can't even remember his whole name. I just, Coco T, I think he was Coco T. Ware. He's got a big band. He's got a tour of the country. Martez knows him. I think Martez and he might be brothers from another mother.
You know, they do sound alike.
We all sound alike and we all look alike, huh?
Oh, man, let's not go there.
I'm sorry.
Now, Martez, real quick, before we move on to Turtle here, let's put the last pin in this. What's Coco's full name?
His full name is Antoine Davenport.
All right, he's Coco. What's his full Coco name?
Oh, Coco T. Ware. You had it right. Coco T. Ware.
All right, I got it right. All right, so there we go. Coco T. Ware, our ghost. I'm the ghost. He's a guest. There's a lot of words here that sync up together. So go to kayfabe : People's, P-P-L-S. Oh, wait, I forgot the. Kayfabe : the P-P-L-S band, and that's how you get in touch with Coco and can become part of his touring band. Is that right, Martez?
That's correct. Yep.
All right, now we're
going
to move on to where we were supposed to be. Turtle, thank you for calling in. I know things have been pretty horrible for you lately. I was hoping by the time you called in, we'd have gotten through some of this Hell's Bells information, but we have not because we're in a whole other direction because we're going to do whatever we want because Steve does whatever he wants. So, Turtle, I know you got a lot on your mind. I know you got a broken heart, a heavy head, and a sore back. So what do you have to say about everything that happened this past Saturday, October 5th?
Well, I figure I'd just call in early. You know, I'm not doing much today. Had the day off, you know, just relaxing. So, you know what? We'll go on, you know, your schedule. And whenever you want to hear the dirt, we can go through the card. Just, you know, we'll go on your time.
Oh, man. How do you like Martez? No one ever wants to go on my time because I'm usually always a half hour late. So let's see. All
well,
right.
Usually Steve is hogging the thing, so you be the host, the best host in the world.
Oh, man, I like that, Turtle. Yeah, you just moved up a notch on my list of people that compliment me very well. I was
there. What I do.
as long as I was there, I was in the crowd watching the show this past Saturday, and I was there next to superfan Stacey Sparkles, sitting behind superfan Richard, half my head is a Skull Atkinson, and then I believe La Chiquita Loca there, Heather Dunkman, if I'm pronouncing her last name right. They took some excellent pictures, took some excellent video. I was doing commentary with Stacey Sparkles while Nick Swink impromptu joined the commentary team with the articulator Steve Kenton. So it was the articulator and the professor laying down all the information and all the matches, and it was one crazy night. One thread weaved, one leaf floated through the breeze all through this show tonight that is all about Steve's ego destroying GPW, and I believe, and I'm the only one pushing this name, but I like it, so that's why I'm still pushing it. He created the SAW, Steve Aaron Wrestling, the new standard, which just melted down the gold standard and turned it into a belt that apparently Steve can put around the waist of his dog because they stole every other belt in the company, especially even yours, Turtle.
Yeah, the title I just won after having an awesome match with Jason Hades, and Steve pulls that crap on me.
Now, we saw, if you watch the GPW videos as they filter in one every 24 hours, by God, Steve, why don't you take a break there? I'm just joking. I like watching the videos. But we saw a video of Turtle apparently running errands out in the world, and lo and behold, in the parking lot, he runs into GPW wrestler who he thought was on the shelf with a severe shoulder injury, Sweet T, who apparently is okay and wants to join in the anti-Steve movement, partner up with Turtle, watch each other's backs at Hell's Bells, and that new partnership was formed after you guys feuded for many months over the Battle Royal Championship, and I dare say, at this point, you thought you, even though the enemies of my friends or my friends' enemies and my aunt is related to my cousin, something like that, but you and Sweet T were going to work together. Is that right, Turtle?
We most definitely were. We talked it out that day, and he explained that Steve, jumped him before the August event, and he thought he can get, just a one up on Team Wildside, G Unit, whatever it was. And I didn't like that at first, but I'm like, you know what, these guys deserve everything, but I didn't want it to go down that way. That was not the road I wanted. I wanted every single one of them guys in that ring that night. Even
but you're the
Sweet
kind of
team.
Competitor that wants to face his opponent when their opponent is at 100%. Because if you win, you want to know that you won beating them at their best. And if you lose, you want to know that you got beaten by them at their best. So that's the kind of guy you are, Turtle. And you finally solved the mystery that our friend and former co-host, Big T, now is like Jeffrey Thunderpants. He changed his name. He is trying to solve the mystery of who attacked his younger brother, Sweet T. And right now here, Turtle just gave us the information we've all been wondering about for months. It was Steve Aaron who apparently jumped Sweet T in the back, injuring his shoulder and taking him out of that final match against Johnny Wild and his Freaks of Nature.
That is correct. I mean, he tried to get around it. He danced around it, but I caught him, and I gave him my opinion, but I'm like, you know what? Let's just get through this. We got other guys to take out, and we'll do that in August. But I told him, no more. This is it. So
what you're saying is as a good friend, you gave your friend a second chance after he made a mistake, and this is how he repaid you a little bit later.
Right. And it's funny, like, everyone thought it was me that took out Johnny Wild. And then, like you said, I do everything in the ring. And that's what got me mad at Steve and really started thinking, is this going to go down the wrong path now? And what do you know? That's what happened.
Exactly. So obviously, Steve, is the only truthful thing he's saying is that obviously he has been laying the groundwork for his evil plan for months. He said that Saturday that he's been planning this for a long time. So I don't even know when Steve was smiling and shaking all of our hands and cheering with the good fans that he was just – he might have been just pulling the wool over our eyes back then. He could have been evil the whole time, Turtle.
That's right. It's kind of like how Hulk Hogan was just before he joined the NWO.
Ooh, man, don't remind me. I was there. Unfortunately, I was there in the middle of it. Not only did I get a leg drop, I think I got hit in the head by a couple of Coke cups.
It's true.
All right, so Turtle, and Martez is still here too, and Coco hopefully is still listening. Now, let's see here. I'll start running through the card real quick because it's some of the things we got to go in order, and then we'll get to Turtle's match, and then I want to hear his feelings about this. Now, it was a weird show. I got there just as the show started, and I was there expecting with Steve in the ring with his minion in the background, menacing minion skulking around. Metalhead, they were in the ring calling out Mitch Blake because they wanted to fight him then and there. And I think I would call this match, I'm a narcissistic baby and I'm going to make fun of my opponent match because it wasn't Mitch Blake that came out, though. Turtle, it was somebody named Bitch Blake, which was a stand-in. That was a swerve and a half.
All right.
And then I don't know what Steve's plan was. He had the person bow down in front of him and get down on his knees. I don't know if that was the kisses ring or there's whatever's going on in the, you know, in Steve's basement. There's some weird kind of bondage stuff down there. So I don't know what that was about. But just before that happened, the one and only Mitch Blake himself burst through the curtain with the two guys he said he might be bringing with him. That's Urban Country of Jay Cross and Willie the Bomb Richardson. The three of them were there saying they were going to take out Steve, and here they were to back up their words. And I think at that moment everybody thought Steve and Metalhead were going to get a little 650s on them, on their heads, a little clubber in there. What did you think, Turtle? What did you think? You were probably backstage watching this. Where were you at this time?
I was definitely backstage, you know, watching, getting ready, you know, to watch Steve get pounded. Now, let's backtrack just a little bit.
Do it.
Casey Dillon, before she went out to do her thing and turn on us, she shook my hand, gave me a hug, and said, I'm going to chokeslam this SOB. And not knowing which SOB we were talking about. And I was like, wow, okay, this ain't going too well now.
Exactly, the International Princess of Darkness, Casey Dillon herself, who for almost a year has been arguing with Steve on Facebook and social media since her last appearance when she did beat up Steve and chokeslam him in the middle of the ring, I think by putting a hole in his Sears outlet suit, and they've hated each other ever since. So when she came out to the ring, everybody figured this is the meeting, face-to-face confrontation that everyone's been waiting for. But it seems that somehow Casey had a change of heart, if she even has a heart, and she became part of Steve's new crew. I don't think anybody could believe it. They couldn't wait to see another choke slam, and here she was. She laid the choke slam down on someone else, Turtle.
Yeah, that threw me through a loop. I didn't know what to think at that time. And when that happened, I walked away for a second. I'm like, what just happened? And I'm looking at Mitch Blake and Urban Country, and I'm like, guys, now it's 3-on-3.
That's
so
the
I'm
way
like,
things
okay.
Look.
I,
yeah,
just
that's
didn't,
the way
I didn't
things.
Know what to think.
Yeah, I know. I don't think anybody knew what to think because that was – well, first of all, it's hard to believe that Steve and Metalhead could see eye-to-eye or eye-to-mask holes or whatever because they had such differences. Metalhead almost beat Steve's son with a chain and a steel chair, and now they're best buddies. And here comes Casey Dillon with the two of them, and now Urban Country's back with Mitch Blake. Urban Country, who had been fired by Steve for whatever Steve considered insubordination, I don't know, maybe listening to Cotton Eye Joe too many times. But anyway, they were coming back to try to get revenge for losing their jobs. But instead, Urban Country dissolved into something called the Uprising, and they turned on Mitch Blake, beating him down, and it was a 5-on-1 beatdown. Martez, can you believe it?
No, I can't. I can't believe it. I think those are some unfortunate events, you know, and I didn't think Steve was capable of all this.
Man, oh, man, I don't know what he's been doing. It's like a lemonade snicket, unfortunate events. You got that exactly right. He must have been on the phone. I don't know what he promised to these people. He fires them. What does he say? I'm going to give you your job back with extra pay? I don't know how these people got in line with him, but I think I cut you off, Turtle. What were you going to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to respond to Urban Country. I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead. That was another shocking, the Uprising.
And I'm like, I'm standing there. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, what is going on? What Steve did something here after all this time thinking he has nobody. Nobody likes him. So it's like, what kind of stroke does he have with these guys?
Exactly. I mean, it's just a given. It's like we breathe air. The sky is usually blue. Steve has no friends. That's just a given. Nobody saw any of this coming.
Well,
but, of course, that's what he's been saying, right? Nobody saw it coming.
I guess so. I mean, it's crazy. Who would have thought?
And there we had the birth right there. They were obviously born somewhere backstage or somewhere in a dark room. The crowd was in shock because that's where I was. And obviously the back locker room was in shock as well. Mitch, no one was more in shock of Mitch Blake now that he had about 10 boot prints on his face. And then Steve announced that they were the new standard, which, of course, I like to call Steve Aaron Wrestling. Himself, Metalhead, Cross, and Richardson now becoming the Uprising from the ashes of Urban Country. And the Casey Dillon, the mistress of hell, has made a pact with the devil. Who'd have thought? I thought she would have already done that a long time ago.
No. It's still shocking to me. I can't even put in the words.
And I believe it was at that time that Steve announced that the Uprising, my time may be a little skewed here, Turtle. I was trying to get everything together on paper before the show. I think that's when Steve announced that the Uprising would then be added to that night's tag team title match against the Bruise Brothers and the Real Men of Genius.
I mean, it made a great matchup, but they didn't deserve to be in that match at all. This should have been the Bruise Brothers versus the Real Men of Genius. That would have been a phenomenal match, and then you add these two jerks in there, and it was just part of the plan the whole time. So it's not like he was trying to have a great match put together. He had a hidden agenda to screw everybody over.
Exactly. I wasn't very good in history class, but whatever it was that in the year in the past, it was like a modern-day gold rush. Steve had his wagons and all of his horses in a row, and they were charging in Southern California for everything gold. Metalhead had already had a match for the world title, the GPW title already on the paper, and Casey Dillon already had a shot at Miranda Wright's ladies title on the paper, so now they're going after the tag team titles as well, and things are not looking good for our fan favorites here. And that's just the beginning
absolutely.
Of the show. The show hasn't even technically started yet.
Show hasn't started, and shenanigans have just ran right in and took over.
And Steve, feeling pretty cocky with his new team, had no fear about getting in anybody's face all night. I think he was in 85 different segments.
Yeah.
So is it fair to say that the GPW locker room and the GPW promotion is in trouble with this whole new movement? New faction that Steve has created?
I'll leave the Turtle to answer that, because in addition to being a fine in-ring performer, Turtle's also pretty good in the GPW office, is keeping things together, so he knows it from 8 different sides of the same coin. Turtle, what do you think this means?
Well, I know we'll get to it a little later on, but like Martez said, we are in trouble. And I noticed, if I didn't know it then, I knew it right at the end of the show. But when we get to that, I'll explain why.
So then the show officially kicked off. I mean, I think it officially kicked off. I don't even know. This was supposed to be Steve defending his just won IPW, which is Indiana Pro Wrestling Beer Drinking Championship, a championship he stole from previous championship holder, IPW's Sean Danger, who is like a stick figure with a beard on it. I don't even think he weighs 50 pounds. They were supposed to challenge in a wrestling match. Sean Danger there with a one-night contract trying to get his belt back. And at the last second, there was another swerve where Steve was replaced in that match by Sweet Tea. Is that what we're talking about there? When Sweet Tea, I think, was just as surprised as everybody. Did I have that right?
Yes, Sweet Tea was a surprise. But
and he doesn't like Steve at this point either, so he was surprised he was even in this match.
Right. But
which
another,
wasn't even
you know,
necessarily a match, because after a few minutes of tumbling and slapping, some weird creature in a scream ghost face mask came running out in a pair of shorts and no shoes, interfering in the match. During the confusion, Sweet Tea didn't know what to make of this, and then Sean Danger grabbed his beer-drinking championship belt, ran out of the arena, ran out of the ring, through the crowd, out the front door, into the rain. And was never heard from again. I think he's still hitchhiking back to Indiana, which incidentally is like an unincorporated area between Illinois and Indiana.
I think I drive through there a lot when I go to my place of business.
I think you do. I think it's like a no man's land. I don't know if anybody else remembers this. There used to be a no man's land there on State Line Road. It was full of bars, gun shops, and go-go dancing places. Check that out in your history if you ever want to look. Between right there, State Line of Illinois and West Ohio. So whatever that was all about. And also, too, I think at this point, was he still Sweet Tea? Because by the end of the night, Sweet Tea, who was wearing new purple pants and sporting a new refreshed attitude after his days with Johnny Wild, he became Prince Tea at the end. Well, now, was that a beginning? Was he Sweet Tea at the beginning or Prince Tea at the beginning? Or when he made his diabolical turn, which is no secret except the Martez, did he become Prince Tea then, Turtle? Do you know the answer to that question?
Honestly, I don't know when he became the princess, but...
Oh, man!
He was just... He's always been Tea to me, whether it was Sweet Tea, Princess Tea, Kiss My Butt Tea, whatever.
Ooh,
to me,
man.
he's just a broken-down godfather.
Oh, man! Martez, what do you think about that?
I think those are some heavy words. Those are some fighting words coming from you, Turtle. So you don't have any love for Big T. I mean, am I hearing that correctly? You don't have any love for him?
Little T. Big T is our friend. He was not at this event, conspicuous by his absence. This was his brother, Sweet T, the little brother, who Turtle had shook hands with and made a deal to watch each other's back. And then we might as well jump to that right now, since we're talking about it, that it was Turtle getting his shot. We'll get to the other stuff later, Turtle. This is important, and you're on the phone, and we're already halfway done with the show. Turtle, dream come true. Last month he won a triple threat match, putting him in line with a shot at the Vision Division Championship. It's only if you were to have the world title and you took one step away from the world title, that's where the Vision Division Championship is in global professional wrestling. And Turtle had his shot. Not just at his first major singles title in GPW after being Battle Royal Champion, but a shot at someone he considered a friend, a mentor, someone he looked up to and admired for years, the legendary legend in Chicagoland area, the legendary Jason Hades, the current champion. And Turtle, you went in there wanting to shake hands and have a square wrestling match with your friend, and that's not the way things started out, was it?
Unfortunately, no. The fans were cheering for both of us, and he went to shake my hand like a true champion, And then all of a sudden, he kicks me right in my
shelf.
Right, in the shells.
That's dastardly play any way you want to look at it. Trying to take the early advantage, and someone as talented as a Jason Hades doesn't need to take shortcuts. And here he is, not only trying to beat the turtle, trying to embarrass him as well. And I don't even know where that was coming from, but I guess you can't really trust a guy with Hades as a last name.
That's very true.
But Turtle, did that stop Turtle? Anyone who's listening knows that it did not stop Turtle in any way, shape, or form, because Turtle's got the heart of a rhinoceros. He's got the fortitude of a blue whale. He's got the towering presence of a giraffe on stilts. Turtle did not give up, and he gave Jason Hades everything he could handle and more, because Turtle, I'll let you talk about it. What happened at the end of this match? I believe, who won this match, Turtle?
Gee, I wonder who won. Let's see. You know, Hades gave me all all he had, and that was a lot, but I just kept fighting back and fighting back, even getting DDT'd on my head. And that was scary enough, because all I kept thinking about was me falling on my head in June. And I'm like, okay, can I move? Can I move? All right, I can kick out. So then I got kicked in the face, not once, but twice. And I got up. And then when he went for the third one, I caught his leg. I swung him around. And I gave him the jawbreaker of doom, I'll call it. And 1, 2, 3, I was the winner, became division champion. It was unbelievable. Like, I had chills everywhere. And I'm like, this just happened. I mean, winning the Battle Royal title was cool, but winning a singles title like this against Jason Hades of all people, I didn't even realize what just happened for a couple seconds. I was in a daze. And then it hit me. I won the match. And I can hear the crowd screaming.
Ooh, and the crowd was going nuts because everybody loves the Amazing Turtle.
I got a question, Macho. Now that you are the division champion, Turtle, do you feel like you have a huge target on your back at this point?
Well, Martez, I got some sad news for you, because unfortunately, Turtle's title reign was short-lived.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right, Martez. You don't know what's going on. Besides, you got all kind. You got to push the buttons, and you got to deal with Charlie. I wish he would just shut up. Hey. Anyway, what we have going on there, as everybody knows, or maybe some people don't, because I was confused about it till a couple weeks ago. The GPW Vision Division Championship is usually defended in a traditional match, but the championship itself can be won or lost any time between the beginning of a GPW event, let's say bell time at 7 o'clock, to the end of a GPW event. Let's say the end of the last match when the music dies out around 10 o'clock or 10:30. So in that three-and-a-half-hour span, even though there's a match scheduled, anybody can come in with a ref and attack the Division champion at any time, roll him up for a pin, and become the new champion. You don't even need a ring. You just need a ref and the element of surprise. And that's exactly what came into play later on when Turtle came to the aid of his good friend Mitch Blake, who was under assault from every direction that night, and Sweet T, the man who was supposed to have his back. They came to help out Mitch Blake, back-to-back against each other, fighting out all of Steve's forces outside the ring. And I might have jumped ahead a little bit, Turtle. If you've got more to say about having your title, you go right ahead. But then I want you to explain what happened when Sweet T had his back to you in that ring.
Well, okay, to answer that question, though, do I feel like I had a target? The moment you win that championship, you have the target on you instantly. And that's how I felt when I was the Battle Royal champion. And at that time, I didn't just have one target. I had several targets. Because in the Battle Royal, you have basically the whole locker room gunning for you. And it's the same way with any title. You always have a target or several targets. And in Division, again, it's like a Battle Royal. except it's not over the top rope, but you still have multiple targets.
Yeah, you can't even ever relax.
Right. If you even if you have a number one contender set, anybody can come and get that title from you. So the moment I won, I had eyes in the back of my head. I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm even looking at the fans at this point. And with Steve running around turning on people and everybody else turning their backs on everybody, you just never know what's happening or who's going to come after you. And at this point, once we fast forward here, I let my guard down. When I went and saved Mitch Blake with Sweet Tea, and basically when I saw the video of it, I noticed Steve did the whole thing with the evolution thing, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, and then what do you know? I get low blowed by Sweet Tea, I get kicked in the face, and then all of a sudden I hear 1, 2, 3, and I've lost my Vision Division title.
Yeah, you didn't get to see that in the ring, Steve. While you two were back to back fighting off his SAW, Steve entered the ring. You were facing the other direction, and he gave Sweet Tea the thumbs down. Sweet Tea nodded because it was a plan all along, and he did just what you said. Rolled you up. Referee jumped in. Sweet Tea, and this is the point where I believe Sweet Tea turned into Prince Tea. As a member of Steve's royal court or whatever, and he is now the new Vision Division champion. So Turtle realized his dream, but only for about a half hour, 45 minutes. What do you think about that now, Martez?
Wow. I think that's pretty messed up. You know, I'm feeling for you over here, Turtle. You know, to have your dreams crushed like that within a matter of moments, I feel for you.
And that wasn't all. That wasn't all. I'm sorry, Turtle. Go ahead. You might want to respond to that. I get so excited.
It's okay. Yeah, like, it's just, it's hard to, like, really grasp on it because I'm still in shock. But, you know, you trusted somebody and they get you in the balls and then they take your title that you just won, had to want the match of your life. And all this was part of the plan. So this was all part of Steve's plan to mess with me. So
exactly.
It's no wonder why Sweet Tea, Prince Tea, was in my neighborhood at the same time I was on my way to the gym. The same street I take every time.
It's sad to know that, like you said, Steve is planning this. Steve, weeks out from this event, knew that he was going to break the heart of one of his closest friends, maybe his best friend in GPW. He had already dangled whether or not he was going to take away the title shot from you before that, and obviously he didn't know what was going to happen between you and Hades, but obviously he had this plan set up in case you did win, and you did. You defeated Hades, and you earned that title because you fought the match of your life. And then to have it all taken away like that while Steve's laughing, well, I could see why you did what you did. And there's a little more backstory to that as we jump around here if you want to comment after what I'm going to talk about right now. And if that sentence even made any sense, I don't know. But the thing is, this was a detailed story laid out over the last few weeks, the last few events, and everything was all knitted together. Usually you don't see a plan like this come to fruition in one night. Steve should be applauded for his evilness and villainy of being able to put this all together, because it was a major accomplishment that I'm not sure anybody else could pull off, short of Eric Bischoff or Vince McMahon. But we had a ladies' championship match, and that was against champion Miranda Wright and the aforementioned international princess of darkness of No Soulville, Casey Dillon, going up against Miranda, who is formerly, we all know now, your main squeeze. You and Miranda have been romancing each other, Netflix and chilling, for the last 6 months. Flirting, doing some dirty dancing in the middle of the ring, doing some clean dancing while she tells you to stop eating the ice cream. And the last few weeks, we've been seeing videos coming up with Mitch Blake down south at GPW Fractional South. And strangely enough, Miranda's down there with him. And we don't exactly know what's going on. And I confront Steve about it, and he says, well, it looks like that maybe Miranda and Mitch are together, and Turtle and Miranda are no longer together, which boggles my mind. But Turtle, the good man that he is, the good boyfriend that he is, the good friend that he is, still stuck by Mitch Blake, still came to the ring with Miranda, and maybe, Turtle, I said you might have been a little whipped at this point. Miranda brings her dog Penny Rights with her to the ring, and knowing everything she knows in her head, what she's doing with Mitch Blake, she lets Turtle take her dog in the back so he feeds her dog while she's making time with another guy. Turtle, I'm sorry to break it to you in such harsh terms on the air, but what was going through your mind at that point?
I mean,
this is all building up inside you, and this is a night where the damn burst on everything Turtle thought he could count on.
It, you know, when it comes to relationships, it happens. The way it happened kind of sucks, but this goes back to when I got hurt. Because when I went to the hospital, you would think a certain somebody would have been there at my bedside. But instead, this person went to the after party and hung out with her babe, her new babe.
Man, that's oh man, that's started. Low. That's low for everybody.
But after a while, I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. As much as it sucked and as much as I wanted to punch somebody, I'm like, it was meant to be, because I liked my ice cream. She liked going to the gym every day, being there for hours.
Yeah,
so
in this case, opposites
out.
Did not attract in that arena.
Exactly.
So are you celebrating now that you now that everything has happened? Are you celebrating the fact that you are liberated from Miranda Wright?
Well, I mean, it's no celebration. It breaks my heart a little bit because we were good together, but it was more the fact that it was going on behind my back.
Yeah.
And it was with someone that I trusted. And this person, you know, has been preaching about how he's had his back turned on so much, his nuts kicked. But then he does this.
Wow, so it's like a perfect case of hurt people hurting people, right?
That's pretty much it.
I mean, that's the thing. Turtle, first of all, he's not even sure if he's got a match for sure on the card because of Steve walking into the arena. He gets out there, sees what Steve does, one of his closest friends, betrayed by Steve and everybody else in Steve's new faction, gets into the ring. His mentor, someone he admires, Jason Hades, smacks him in the shells, turns his back on him. Turtle fights with all of his heart, wins his title. Two friends right there that turned on him, knowing full well in the back of his mind everything that's going on between Miranda and Mitch, but he's still doing his thing. He's there taking care of Penny Wright's. And Miranda, might we add, that match was pretty much throttled, even though she put up a good fight. She was throttled, and her head almost smashed when Casey put on a vice-like double Von Erich claw and almost made Miranda pass out. If I think she did make her pass out. I'm not sure if Miranda tapped out or passed out. So that is our new ladies champion, Steve's favorite little devil girl, his goth goddess. The new GPW ladies champion, Casey Dillon, left a puddle of Miranda Wright's laying in the ring.
And that was brutal. I just, you know, honestly, despite everything, I wish I was able to get in there and prevent it from happening.
Well, Miranda's been a champ for a long time. She, whether or not she took her eye off the ball, because like I say, these guys are supposed to be the good guys here. It was you and Miranda and Steve and Mitch. You guys seemed like you were the wall protecting the, you know, the evil ciphers and metalheads and Johnny Wilds from breaking in and taking over GPW. And here it all starts to fall apart before it even had a chance to get together. And now Miranda loses her belt. It wasn't anybody's fault other than she just lost a match. And then Turtle here being as supportive as he can. And that's why leading down to what we just talked about, saving Mitch, he knows his girlfriend's got another guy. Two friends stab him in the back. Three friends with Prince T stab him in the back. He loses the title. He's still hugging it. It hasn't even sunk in that he's the champ, and it still hasn't even sunk in that he just lost it. So Turtle, at the end of this match, and I'm not hope I'm not embarrassing you in any way, Turtle, because I don't blame you. You just snapped. Mitch was out there, Miranda was out there, Steve and his group were out there, and you just said you'd had enough. You were trying to focus on yourself, then you were helping everybody else instead, and I won't even speak for you. I'll just turn it over to you at this point, when after you realized everything that was happening and you had had enough. Right, Turtle?
That's exactly right. Everything that was bottled up in my heart, everything in my head, finally just exploded, and I've had it. I've had it with trying to help people, when I'm trying to get myself together. You know, I had a focus on Jason Hades. That was my main thing. And then what does Mitch say to me prior to the, right after my post or my video? He had the balls to say that he's going to chalk this up as me turning my back on him.
Yeah, what nerve. He blamed you for abandoning him.
Right. But I didn't even do anything except just explain that I need to take a step back, focus on me, the title match, Jason Hades. No one understands that I've been in this business for so long, I never got the opportunity like I have in GPW. And this was the one match that I've been looking forward to. Granted, it fell in my lap because it's not like I asked for Jason Hades. It just happened. So when Steve put me in that triple threat and I won, it was destiny. So I took it as, let's go down this path. But I had to focus on myself. And Mitch decided that, okay, you know, well, you're turning your back on me now when I need you. I'm like, I'm going to be there, but I have to step away and I can't be part of this whole saga. There's too much going on. And I can't be part of it. I can't let it just – I want to do what I need to do, and that's that. And, like, when I pushed him, when he was trying to help me up, I got so fed up because I went in, I saved him, and for what? For me to get – to lose my title. I feel like if I had not gone out there to save him once again – I wouldn't have lost the title then. I wouldn't have let my guard go down. And that's how I felt. I felt like every time I saved somebody, especially Mitch Blake, I lose control of myself and I lose control of everything. It's bad enough I wasn't officially ring ready when I was against Jason Hayes. I wasn't at my best. I gave him all I had. But I wasn't at my best ever since June. When I got hurt, I still wasn't. I was not 100%. As much as I said I was, I wasn't. I was pretending because I needed to get through it and I needed to prove that I can do this. So I just had enough. And everyone thought I was just going to join Steve. But really, I'm tired of Steve too. Because like you said earlier, I was part of everything backstage, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff. Steve would call me when things got overwhelmed. He would be crying to me, oh, I got this to do, help me out, Turtle. And then what does he do? He turns on me. And I saved him, out of plenty of jams. But he couldn't handle it, so he blamed Mitch, calling saying he's Mitch's bitch. Well, it felt like I was more Steve's bitch than anything. And then saving, having to save Mitch again, and I just got tired of it. Everything just happened so fast, and then everything went up. Miranda was in my mind, and it's like, I'm done. I couldn't do it no more, and that's why I walked out.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah,
Thor
literally walked out of the ring through the crowd right past me. I saw the sadness in his eyes, and right out the back door of the arena, and that was that. Turtle had had enough, and he left GPW, not quitting, not in a cowardly way, but in a man who had been had everybody turn against him.
Yeah, Macho, this is listening to Turtle talk about what happened. Like, this is nothing short of a sad story. You know, this is very tragic. To if I can use that word. Now, Turtle, you've been betrayed by your closest friends. You've been betrayed by your woman. Like, is GPW ready for a new version of Turtle? Are you going to be ushering in a new version of you in light of all these betrayals that you have suffered?
Well, here's the crazy thing, and I thought about that the other day when I listened to, you know, Macho Ghost and Nick Swink, you know, on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. See how I
did
that?
I like it.
That was a good show, too.
And Swink actually, you know, I believe it was Swink, he brought it up that I'm going to be the next Sting when things happen to him, pretty much the same way that it happened to me, maybe some differences.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not going to change dramatically like Sting. I'm still going to be Turtle. I'm still going to, you know, kick butt for the shell of it. I'm still going to be the happy guy, eat pizza, whatever. But I think now I have to focus on me still. Be just, I'll be by myself, but at the same time, I'm going to be looking around for better friends, better brothers, who will always have my back no matter what. And if I can't find it, I'll take Steve out and his crew by myself.
Wow.
Because
like
apparently
that.
I can't count on anybody. Especially when when I help people, I felt underappreciated. I trying to save GPW through this dark cloud that we have over our heads. And because GPW gave me my chance. As a whole, it gave me my chance to shine. And I am grateful for that. But there comes to a time where when's enough is enough? When am I going to stop getting screwed over?
Mm-hmm.
Especially by the people that I have helped out.
Exactly. And it seems like somewhere down the line, some people might point all the way back to when Steve got hit by that car, run over by that car, whatever was thrown out of a dump truck, that his attitude changed, that he's not safe, he can't trust anybody, so he thought he had to change his attitude and felt like Mitch was betraying him, so he had to tear apart GPW and burn it all to the ground to make himself feel better, which is exactly the opposite of what a good, kind-hearted, true-hearted, pure-hearted person like Turtle is saying. He's not saying he's going to go and bring everybody down with him for his own satisfaction. He's going to go out there, and even though he's angry and he's sad and he's walking through some dark alleys and lonely streets nowadays, he's going to stick true to what Turtle stands for, and he's going to go after the men who caused him his pain, and he's going to take them down for GPW. Am I putting words in your mouth, Turtle, or does that sound right?
Now, you're right on the money, and it's just the thing is, I'm not as much as mad as I am at Mitch and Miranda. They are not my enemies. I'm going to point that out. They are not my enemies. I don't agree with a lot of things that those two do? What have they have done? I don't agree with it, and no one should. But I am not going to make them my enemy. I just have to show them that what's going on is not right. What happened to me was not right.
Mm-hmm.
And I want a little bit more appreciation. That's all.
Mm.
And that's the difference right there between Steve and Turtle. Steve, with similar feelings, decided that he would turn to the dark side to help his situation and mend his broken heart, while Turtle here is still going to fight for what's right because that's the kind of guy he is, and he deserves to be a champion.
Exactly right. And I didn't want to get in the middle of this. I did not. I don't want to be in the middle of this problem because you got the dark side and you got the founding father of GPW here clashing over what? Well, what's going on? But because Steve hit me with the chair, he's become my enemy, along with the rest of his goons. So if I'm gonna walk this alone, and I'll take them out. I'll save GPW myself, if that's what it takes. Because, you know, I'll fast forward to the end of the show. You notice at the end when the Battle Royal happened and they were all standing in the ring, I was by the front door, by the entrance door where the fans came in. I was hoping for the Bruise Brothers, Mitch Blake, anybody in GPW would walk out there and save the day and take them out. But no, none of them were there.
I was shocked by that myself. Nobody came out to get in their face while they celebrated their victories. And not to cut you off, Turtle, but I just heard a knock at the door, which of course means someone's on the phone.
Yep.
We got about 10 minutes left. Who we got there, Martez? Turtle, you stay on the line. Who we got?
I'm here.
Hey, Macho, the caller called in, and like within 3 seconds, the call went away. So either actually, we got the caller back. I'm going to bring okay, the caller went away again. I don't know what's going on. It's either they're being disconnected or they're hanging up. I'm not sure, but we don't have a caller currently right now.
It's probably Fester. I don't think he knows how to work a phone properly.
Yeah. The moment that
anyway, I hope it's not Steve trying to butt in on the show that he's hiding from.
We'll
so
see.
Anyway, yeah, this is what the... I'll let you finish. Well, we've got all this stuff to cover that I thought we were going to cover. We'll talk more about the other matches next week. I want to hear more about what Turtle thinks about everything. But just to recap, so everyone who's listening knows, and so Martez knows that as well, by the end of the night, through backstabbing shenanigans, cheating referees, and all kinds of other things that you would teach your children not to do, the Steve Arendt's new faction, SAW, the new standard is what they call themselves. We have a new ladies champion in Casey Dillon. We have a new Vision Division champion in Prince T. Because of the dastardly, crooked, and cheating referee, Two Count Lou, who just got his job back and was supposed to be here to slap Steve in the face, we have new tag team champions in the Uprising of Jay Cross and Willie Richardson. But that's not all. Metalhead, going into his championship match against Marche Rocket, deserved or not, a fight carried over from a previous match between Marche's good friend Bryce Benjamin and the former champion Zamiel, the Dark Harlequin, resulting in Marche trying to stop the fight, getting Zamiel's elbow square in the face, getting knocked over and pinned by Metalhead, making Metalhead the new GPW World Champion. And Marche, just when you think you're ready to pass out, that wasn't all. Like Turtle said, at the end of the night, the Battle Royal Championship, when it was down to three people left, Battle Royal Champion Sky Blue, her brother, TJ Steele, and the young up-and-coming, beautiful Mr. Ryan Matthews, the SAW new standard charged the ring, eliminated all of them, and put the Battle Royal Championship belt over Steve Arendt's shoulder. Which means these villains have every single belt that they laid across in the ring through their evil chicanery. World title, tag team titles, ladies title, Vision Division, Battle Royal Championship. While they're celebrating in the ring, Turtle standing alone at the front door in the dark. I do believe it might have even been raining at that point, waiting for the rest of the heroes of GPW to come out through that curtain to confront them. Nobody showed up. And that's where Turtle was before we got that mysterious phone call. What did you think, Turtle, when no one showed up? I don't mean disrespect towards TJ Steele or Steve Boz or Sky Blue, and I would mention other people, but I'm not sure there's anybody left. We saw Marche Rocket take a turn. We saw Hulk. We saw, obviously, Jason Hades take a turn. I don't think there's anybody you can count on in GPW anywhere, Turtle.
That's what it felt like. You know, I'm standing out there, and I'm whispering to the people by the door. I'm like, watch what's going to happen. Just watch. I had that feeling, and it's going to make me feel good. But the lights went on, and no one was out there. I'm like, wow, really, Steve is going to win? And I walked right back in, and no one noticed, except a few people. And I just stared at Steve. And I didn't know what to say. I just stared at him. And I'm looking at the entranceway again. I'm like, is this what's going to happen? Is this what GPW has become? No one wants to step up and help save it from this jerk, the cancer that is killing us right now. I feel like he's the dark cloud that's been over our heads, or he represents the dark cloud anyway, that's over our heads and that I'm trying to get rid of. And that's what I've been doing for the last, the half of the year already, keeping GPW going, not letting anything happen to it. But it came to a point, I'm doing this by myself. And as you saw, no one was out there to back me up. So it's like, okay, I think I'm just going to go down with it, but I'm going to go down fighting.
And that's the thing. I was surprised. I thought there was going to be a melee, a big schmaz of people throwing down GPW versus SAW, but that did not happen, as Turtle said. The Swink and I tried to get an interview with Steve real quick, that wrestling show live, which, of course, is on every Tuesday from 7 to 10 p.m. on EvolutionPop.com, hosted by The Swink with the Macho Ghost coming in at 9 p.m. We tried to get a quick Facebook Live interview with Steve, and we did, whether anybody saw it or not. Check it out if you can find it. And I tried to get in his face and get some answers. I was disgusted. He showed no remorse whatsoever. As a matter of fact, in all the 31 years that Charlie was talking about earlier that we've known Steve, I don't think I've ever seen him as full of himself or as happy with himself. And that, to me, is disgusting. And it's up against the line, too, because as Turtle alluded to, there's been a dark cloud over GPW for months, because obviously Mitch Blake has moved down south. Whether he's running because he's scared or whether he's got a vision for the future, it could be either one, it could be both. I don't know. I'm only rooting for Turtle at this point. But down south, GPW Fractional South, he's down there. Apparently they're going to be starting shows, which means the future of GPW Fractional North is up in the air, especially with Steve's takeover. And the season ends, because GPW always takes a couple months off for people to relax during the holidays, November 2nd, Saturday, at the Posen Dome is GPW. I believe it's called Nowhere to Run, the last event of the year, quite possibly the last event of GPW as you know it ever. Steve is in charge of everything. He's got everything coalesced in his filthy little hands. He's got all the titles and all of his backstabbing freaks in his hands, in his grip, and he's got control of everything. So like Turtle's saying, is anybody going to stand up in November? Is anybody going to do anything? Or is it, this is how it's going to end, with Steve burning GPW down to the ground, having control of everything, taking the belts with him to God knows where. Turtle, what's going to happen?
I honestly do not know. I mean, and you heard Steve on the show on Tuesday. I don't even have a match. I saw a possibility of a card because I still get emails through, you know, through the, because he sends his versions, his rough drafts to the higher ups. I still get those emails. And I am not even on the card. My name is not even on there. I'm not even in the ring crew section. So does he not want me in the building at all? I'm still part of the company. I'm still an employee. But it looks like I am not required to even show up that day.
Well, that's the thing. Steve's been doing all this stuff behind the scenes, and then he unveils his plan in front of everybody's face. Who knows what's been going on backstage? Maybe still, who owns the ring at this point? Does Steve have control over the building or the insurance? Well, I asked him that on Tuesday myself. Well, why are you even going to have a November event? Maybe he's just going to shut everything down now and hit the high road with all of his glory. I don't even know what's going to happen. Do you think he's actually going to put his friends, his so-called friends, who would probably stab their grandmothers in the face, do you think he's going to put them in matches with legitimate contenders? I don't see that happening. Is he actually going to get in the face of Mitch Blake finally? Are they going to have this showdown between the entire, before the entire state of Illinois separates the two of them? I don't even know what's going to happen. I'm going to be there, I know that much. And Turtle, whether your name's on the paper or not, even if your name's on a wanted poster at the Posen Police Department, you better be there.
I am going to be there because I'm not going to disappoint anybody. I will, in some way, I will be in that building, whether I'm in my gear or if I'm in street clothes sitting next to Mama T and Richard.
And I'll give you a word. I got a couple minutes left. I'll let you have your last word there, Turtle. Then Martez and I are going to wrap things up. I appreciate you calling and talking from the heart, telling us the truth and laying this story out for us. I know a lot of people, I think they missed the point of this show and how many stories are actually unfolding during the course of it. And yours is the most compelling and the most tragic. So what's your last word on this, Turtle?
You know, for like the last year or so, I have tried my hardest to get back in ring shape and become a competitor again. And as you saw this year, I have had my ups and downs, but I did not give up. And I don't plan on giving up. Whether or not the owners, promoters are wrong, right, GPW gave me my chance. As a whole, GPW was there for me, gave me my shot, gave me my time to shine. And I'm not going to let that punk Steve ruin what I helped vision, help get going, help keep going, save, whatever. I'm not going to let Steve tarnish it, burn it down. I'm not going to let his crew tarnish everything. I'm not going to have them keep those belts and take them wherever they shall please. If I got to take every single one of those belts, take all them down myself, I will die trying.
And I believe that, too. Thank you, Turtle, for being our special guest and laying it all on the line. I appreciate you calling in. Next week, I know we only got a few seconds. Martez, what do you think? You have a final thought about everything?
Hey, this is definitely an interesting story that I'm going to pay close attention to as the weeks go on. Hopefully I can be down there for the next pay-per-view. Not the next pay-per-view, but the next GPW show. And that's about it. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed sitting here listening to you talk in these last 90 minutes or so.
Yeah, that's what some compelling stuff there, Turtle. Thank you very much. Thank you for Coco T. Blair calling in. We got a new friend of the show. Thanks up for Charlie for sitting in case we needed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a lot to say, I'm sure. Martez is in the booth. I'm here. Martez and I, no matter what, will be back here next week. I don't know what Steve's intentions are. And then November 2nd at Road to Nowhere to Run, Road to Nowhere, you decide. It doesn't matter because Steve's burning the whole place down. the new standard, melting down the gold standard. One show left in the year. It all comes down to this. Win, lose, or die. All right, Martez, do we have some theme music going out? Good night, everybody. Thank you.